Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents If We Ever Meet Again by Anna Huang. Narrated by Aiden Snow and Cindy Kay. Prologue. This would kill him. It didn't matter how much he prepared, these next 30 minutes were going to rip his heart out and pulverize it. It was inevitable.
"We haven't talked in a while."
She sounded equal parts accusing and uncertain. He didn't blame her. If he were in her shoes, he would have given up on himself a long time ago. She hadn't, which made him love her even more. But her loyalty made this conversation all the harder. He rested his forearms on his knees and clasped his hands together. He focused on the grain of the wood floors beneath his feet until it swirled in front of his eyes. "I've been busy."
"With?"
"Classes, bar plans, that sort of thing."
"You'll have to do better than that."
His head snapped up at the sharpness in her voice. Looking at her turned out to be a mistake. His chest squeezed at the sight of her face and the hurt swimming in those beautiful brown eyes. It had been 2 weeks since they were last alone together, but it may as well have been 2 lifetimes. His dread mixed with a strange exhilaration at being alone with her again, and it took all of his willpower not to sweep her up in his arms and never let go.
"Tell me the truth," her voice softened. "You can trust me."
It would be so easy to pretend everything was fine, to give her the reassurances she wanted to hear and go back to the way things were. He did trust her, but the truth would shatter her. So he did the only thing he could do. He lied. "I'm sorry." He wiped the emotion from his voice and funneled it into the pit of despair swirling in his stomach. Could she hear it? The panicked thump, thump, thump of his heart beating against his ribcage, screaming at him to stop. "I didn't want to do it like this, but I don't think we should see each other anymore." Farrah's face paled. His heart beat louder.
"What?"
He swallowed hard. "It was fun while it lasted, but the year is almost over and I'm not interested anymore. I'm sorry." "Liar."
"You're lying."
He flinched. She knew him well, too well. "I'm not." He tried to sound nonchalant when all he wanted to do was fall to his knees and beg her not to leave him.
"You are. You said you loved me."
"I lied." He couldn't look her in the eyes. Her sharp inhale twisted his heart into a painful knot.
"You're full of shit," her voice quavered. "Look at you, you're shaking."
He clenched his hands into fists and forced his body to still. "Farrah, this was it." His breath came out in short, shallow bursts. "I got back with my ex-girlfriend over the holidays. I didn't know how to tell you. I love her, and I made a mistake here with us. But I'm trying to fix it." Her sob ripped through the air. Tears stung his eyes, but he blinked them back. "I'm sorry." Such a stupid, inadequate thing to say. He didn't know why he said it.
"Stop saying that."
He flinched at the venom in her voice. She clutched her necklace with one hand, betrayal swirling in her eyes.
"It was all a lie, then? This past year?"
He dropped his gaze again.
"Why? Why did you pretend you cared? Was it some sick joke? You wanted to see whether I'd be gullible enough to fall for you? Well, congratulations, you won! Blake Ryan, the champion! Your father was right. You shouldn't have quit. No one plays the game better than you."
So this was what dying felt like. The pain frozen inside like a lump of jagged black ice, the regret over words he couldn't say and promises he couldn't keep, the loneliness as he slid into dark, starless oblivion with no one left to save him.
"I'm sorry. If you say I'm sorry one more time, I'll go to the kitchen, come back, and cut your balls off with a rusty knife. In fact, I may do that anyway. You're a fucking asshole. I'm sorry I wasted all this time on you, and I'm sorrier for your girlfriend. She deserves better.
God, he didn't want her to leave hating him. He wanted more than anything to tell her it was all a joke, and that he was messing with her. He wanted to grab her and breathe in that orange blossom and vanilla scent that drove him crazy, to confess how head over heels he was for her, and to kiss her until they ran out of breath. But he couldn't. The first part would be a lie, and the second? Well, that was something he could never do again. Farrah walked to the door. She paused in the doorway to look back at him. He expected her to hurl more venom at him. He deserved it. She didn't. Instead, she turned away and closed the door behind her with a soft click that echoed in the silence like a gunshot. His shoulders sagged. All the energy drained out of him. It was over. There was no going back. It was the right thing to do, and yet... He squeezed his eyes shut, trying to block out the pain. He couldn't get the image of her face out of his mind, the one that said she thought so little of him she didn't want to waste any more energy yelling at him. Because of her, he believed in love. The kind of knock-you-down, once-in-a-lifetime love he used to dismiss as a fantasy concocted by Hollywood to sell movies. It wasn't a fantasy. It was real. He felt it to his core. If only they'd met sooner, or under different circumstances. He'd always been a practical person, and there was no use dwelling on what-ifs. Duty bound him to someone else, and sooner or later Farrah would move on and meet a guy who could give her everything she deserved, someone she would love, marry, and have kids with. The last intact piece of his heart shattered at the thought. The shards pricked at his self-control until he could no longer hold back the tears. Huge, silent sobs racked his body for the first time since he was 7, when he'd fallen out of a tree and broken his leg. Only this time, the pain was a million times worse. All their moments together flashed through his mind, and the boy who'd once sworn he would never cry over a girl, cried. He cried because he'd hurt her. He cried because it kept his mind off the desperate loneliness that weighed on his soul the moment she left. Most of all, he cried for what they had, what they lost, and what they could never be.
Chapter 1. 8 months ago. One classic milk tea and one honey oolong milk tea with tapioca, regular sugar, regular ice. Farrah Lynn slid a 20 yuan note across the counter toward the cashier, who smiled in recognition. 4 days in Shanghai, and Farrah was already a regular at the bubble tea joint by campus. She chose not to dwell on what that meant for her wallet and her waistline. While the staff prepared her order, Farrah examined the menu. She knew Nai Cha, milk tea, and Xi Gua, watermelon. She recognized a few other Chinese characters, but not enough to form a coherent phrase. Here you go, the cashier handed Farrah her drinks. See you tomorrow. Farrah blushed. Thanks. Note to self, ask Olivia to make tomorrow's run. Farrah stepped out of the tiny shop and walked back to campus. The sun began its descent and bathed the city in a warm golden glow. Bicyclists and motorcyclists zipped by, battling with cars for space on the narrow side street. The delicious smells wafting from the restaurants Farrah passed, mixed with a far less pleasant sense of garbage and construction dust. Street vendors called out to passersby, hawking everything from hats and scarves to books and DVDs. Farrah made the mistake of making eye contact with one such vendor. Menu! Beautiful girl. It'd be flattering if Farrah didn't know the hard sell that accompanied such a greeting.
Come, come.
The elderly vendor beckoned her over.
Where are you from?
She asked in Mandarin. Farrah hesitated before answering, America? Meiguo. She dragged out the last syllable. unsure whether the admission would hurt or help.
Ah, America. ABC, the vendor said knowingly.
ABC, American-born Chinese. Farah had heard that a lot lately.
I have some great books in English.
The vendor brandished a copy of Eat, Pray, Love.
Only 20 kwai.
Thanks, but I'm not interested.
How about this one?
The woman picked out a Dan Brown novel.
I'll give you a deal. 3 books for 50 kwai.
Farah didn't need new books. And 50 kwai, around $7, seemed pricey for cheap reprints of old novels. But the vendor seemed like a nice old lady, and Farah didn't have the energy to bargain with her. She skipped the English options and went straight for the romance. Jane Austen, Nicholas Sparks, Jojo Moyes. Okay, Sparks and Moyes write love stories, not romance, but still. Given the drought in Farah's dating life, she'd settle for any kind of romantic relationship, even one that ended tragically. Well, maybe not with death, but with a breakup or something. Anything that proved the crazy head-over-heels love you found in books and movies existed in real life. After a disappointing freshman year filled with mediocre dates and fumbling stops at third base, Farah was ready to give up on reality and live in fantasy land full time. I'll take these. She set her drinks on the ground so she could pick up Pride and Prejudice, her personal favorite, The Notebook, and Me Before You. She'd read all of them already, but what the heck, a reread never hurt anybody. Farah paid the vendor, who beamed and gushed her thanks before turning her attention to the next passerby.
Menu,
the vendor flagged down a young woman in a cobalt dress.
Come, come.
Farah looped her shopping bag around her wrist and picked up her drinks while the young woman fended off the vendor's aggressive sales pitch. She speed-walked back to campus, taking care not to make eye contact with any more vendors lest she got suckered into buying something else she didn't need. Farah stopped at the crosswalk. Instead of crossing when the pedestrian light flashed green, she waited until a group of teenagers stepped off the curb before following them into the jungle that was Shanghai traffic. Rule number one of surviving in China? Cross when locals cross. There's safety in numbers. By the time Farah arrived at Shanghai Foreign Studies University, her study abroad program's host campus, she'd already finished her drink. She tossed the empty container into a nearby trash can and pushed open the door to FEA's lobby. FEA, aka Foreign Education Academy, occupied one of the oldest buildings at SFSU. Not only did the 4-story building lack an elevator, but the interior design left much to be desired. The lobby had potential. Marble floors, tons of natural light streaming in through large windows facing the courtyard. But the furniture was straight out of the 80s, and not in the cool retro kind of way. A cracked brown leather couch lined the wall beneath the windows, alongside mismatched chairs and tables. A spindly magazine stand sagged beneath the weight of dozens of back issues of Time Out Shanghai. Faded Chinese landscape paintings hung on the wall, adding to the musty feel. As usual, Farah couldn't help mentally redecorating the space. As she took the stairs to the third floor, she swapped out the current furniture for a cushioned wicker set with glass-topped tables, which would visually expand the lobby. Out went the old watercolors, and in came the panels of Asian-inspired art. Perhaps some up-close representations of the lotus flower or plum blossoms with modern Chinese calligraphy. There could be a wall for bookshelves for... Ow! Farah had been so absorbed in her design daydream, she slammed into a wall. Her hand shot to her forehead as pain ricocheted through her brain. Fortunately, she couldn't feel a bump. Olivia's bubble tea also remained intact, thank God. She was scary when she didn't get her sugar fix. The wall moved.
Are you okay?
It asked. A walking, talking wall? She must have hit her head harder than she thought. Farah peeked out from beneath her hand and found herself staring into a pair of crystal blue eyes. She recognized those eyes. They'd stared back at her from the cover of Sports Illustrated last year, along with the accompanying high cheekbones and cocky grin. Now they examined her with a mix of amusement and concern. "You're not a wall," she blurted. "No, I'm not." The "not a wall" cocked an eyebrow. A hint of a smile played over his lips.
"I've been called a lot of things in my life, but that's a new one."
Farah fought a flush of embarrassment spreading across her face. Of all the people she could have run into, she had to run into Blake Ryan. Even though she wasn't a sports fan, she knew who he was. Everyone did. A hotshot football player from Texas who caused a national uproar when he quit the team at the beginning of the year. Besides the Sports Illustrated cover, Farah remembered Blake from an ESPN documentary about the most talented college athletes in the country. Farah's roommate last year forced her to watch it because she was obsessed with a point guard on CCU's basketball team, and she needed someone she could gush to. It'd been the most boring 75 minutes of Farah's life, but at least there'd been plenty of eye candy, none of whom were dishier than the Texan standing in front of her. 6 feet 2 inches of tanned skin and chiseled muscle, topped with golden hair, glacial blue eyes, and cheekbones that could cut ice. He wasn't Farah's type, but she had to admit the boy was fire. Blake looked the way she'd pictured Apollo looking when she learned about Greek mythology in 7th grade. "Wow, you're really hard." The words slipped out before Farah could catch them. "I did not just say that out loud." The flush traveled from her face to the rest of her body. No matter how hard she prayed, the floor didn't open up and swallow her whole, that bastard. Blake's other eyebrow shot up. "I mean, your chest is really hard. Nothing else. Although I'm sure it could be hard if it wanted to." "Kill me." The hint of amusement blossomed into a full-fledged grin, revealing twin dimples that should be classified as lethal weapons.
"It sure can," Blake drawled. "Especially when I'm around someone as beautiful as you."
Farah's mortification screeched to a halt.
"Oh, please. Do they actually work for you?"
"Excuse me?"
"Your cheesy pickup lines. Do they actually work for you?"
"I've never had any complaints. Besides, look at me."
Blake gestured at himself.
"I don't need pickup lines."
"Wow," Farah shook her head. "Typical jock. It must be difficult walking around with such a big head."
"Babe, that's not the only part of me that's big."
Farah couldn't help it. Her eyes dropped to the region below Blake's belt. An image of what hid behind the denim flashed through her mind's eye. Her mouth went dry.
"I'm talking about my chest, of course."
Blake shook with laughter. Farah's gaze snapped up to his face.
"I knew that."
The mortification crept back up her neck.
"Sure. Since you've already undressed me with your eyes, we should—"
"I did not undress you."
"Properly introduce ourselves."
He held out his hand.
"I'm Blake."
She knew who he was, and they both knew it. Farah played along because, one, her mother raised her to be a polite human being, and two, while she knew his name, there was every chance he didn't know hers. They'd met briefly at orientation dinner the first night, but there were 70 students in FEA. Farah herself couldn't remember the names of half the people she met.
"I'm Farah."
She slid the handle of her plastic bag onto her other wrist so she could grasp his hand. His palms were warm and rough against hers. When they made contact, a tiny, unexpected shock sizzled through her veins.
"Farah, from California."
She couldn't have been more surprised if he started reciting the Iliad in ancient Greek. "You remember?"
"How could I forget?"
Blake's gaze swept over her face and lingered on her mouth. Farah's heart rate kicked up a notch. He was the opposite of her ideal romantic hero. Tall, dark, and handsome, with a side of sensitive, cultured, and well-read. But there was no denying Blake's sex appeal. It dripped from him like honey from a hive. So we didn't need to introduce ourselves. No. He stepped closer without releasing her hand. But I wanted an excuse to touch you. No, Blake wasn't her type, but any girl in the world would melt under the heat of his gaze. Farah hated to admit it, but she was no exception. She'd be damned if she showed it, though. While she struggled to come up with a witty rejoinder, Blake lowered his head to whisper in her ear. Still think my pickup lines are cheesy. Farah yanked her hand out of his and ignored his laughter. The deep, velvety sound rolled through the empty stairwell, filling it with its richness. As a matter of fact, I do, she said with as much dignity as she could muster. You're not as hot as you think you are. Lies. There are plenty of guys as good-looking as you.
Uh-huh. So you think I'm good-looking?
Damn it. Only from a physical point of view.
That's what good-looking means.
I have more important things to do than stand here and argue with you, so
Like read depressing-ass novels?
Blake nodded at the bag in her hands. The cover of The Notebook showed clear as day through the thin red plastic. I don't expect you to understand, but this is a great love story, Farah huffed.
Hey, whatever floats your boat. I don't have anything against love stories. Plus, if you're looking for something to do besides argue with me, I have a few ideas.
Suggestiveness dripped from his voice.
You, me, my room. A great love story.
Farah snorted. Not even in your dreams. You're not my type.
I'm everyone's type.
Farah didn't bother to dignify his arrogance with a response. She brushed past him and stalked up the stairs. I hope you and your ego have a good night, she tossed over her shoulder.
My ego and I always have a good night. By the way, Blake called after her, I hate to see you go, but I love watching you leave.
Farah pressed her lips together, struggling not to smile at his intentionally cliched line. Blake Ryan may have a better sense of humor than she expected, but he wasn't leading man material. Not for her. Not even close.
Chapter 2 Blake was still grinning when he stepped into his room and switched on the lights. The expression on Farah's face when he asked if she thought his pickup lines were cheesy, priceless. She was an FEA, which meant she was off limits. That didn't mean he couldn't flirt with her. He had to keep life interesting somehow. Blake tossed his keys onto his desk and surveyed his tiny kingdom. Technically, it was his and Luke's tiny kingdom, at least until orientation week ended and Luke moved into his homestay. But Luke wasn't here, which meant Blake had all 150 square feet to himself. Compared to his off-campus spread at Texas Southeastern, this place was a dump. The dark wood floors creaked. The cinder block walls resembled those in a jail cell. The twin beds may as well be made for 10-year-olds. But the FEA dorm had one thing his TSU apartment didn't. Freedom. For that luxury, Blake would give up all the plasma TVs and king-size beds in the world. He flopped down on his bed and closed his eyes, luxuriating in the silence. No stares, no whispers, nothing but the quiet peace of a small room in a big city halfway across the world from home. For the first time since February, he felt as though he could breathe. The musical tones of Blake's custom phone alarm interrupted his bliss. Cleo had downloaded it when they started dating last summer. He woke up before dawn every day for football conditioning camp, and he hated the sound of the default alarm at 4:30 a.m. He should change it back. Blake cracked one eye open. It was 7:30 p.m., which meant it was 6:30 in the morning in Austin. Time to call home. He rolled over onto his stomach and flipped open his laptop. He stared at the Skype icon, thinking of excuses why he needed to cut the conversation short before hitting the call button. To his relief, Joy was the one who answered his call.
About time, loser.
Joy popped a potato chip in her mouth.
You're late.
Remind me again, was it you who wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People? Blake tapped a finger on his chin. Oh, wait. In order for you to do that, you'd have to, you know, be literate. My bad.
Ha, looks like Shanghai hasn't improved your terrible sense of humor.
Joy cocked her head.
You look terrible. Is that a pimple I see on your chin?
No way. He didn't get pimples. Nevertheless, Blake rubbed a hand over his jaw to check for unwanted intruders. Nothing except for the scratch of his 5 o'clock shadow. Bullshit.
Yes, but I made you worry.
Joy cackled.
You are so vain.
I'll hang up on you right now.
Do it.
I will.
Fine.
Fine. They glared at each other. Joy caved first. She grinned.
I miss you, big bro.
I miss you too. Blake's sister was a pain in the ass, but she was also one of his best friends and he loved her. Most of the time. Some of the time.
How's Shanghai?
Great, for the most part. A bit noisy and polluted, but... Blake shrugged. You can't have it all. He was happy to be in Shanghai, to be anywhere except Texas, really. But truth be told, he found China strange and overwhelming. The food was weird. People stared at him wherever he went. And there was a lot of everything everywhere all the time. Noise, lights, cars. For a boy who grew up in the quiet suburbs of Texas, Blake felt like someone plucked him out of a fishbowl and dropped him in the middle of a highway during rush hour. Not that he'd ever tell his family that. They gave him enough shit about his decisions as it was. Besides, he arrived less than a week ago. He had plenty of time to get acclimated to Asia. You ready for TSU? He asked.
Of course. I've been preparing all summer. Besides, I've visited you on campus enough to know what it's like.
After a stint at the local community college, Joy was transferring to TSU for her sophomore year.
Cleo's been amazing. She gave me the lowdown on everything I need to know, which classes I should take, bars I should go to, boys I should meet.
Wariness settled in Blake's stomach. I didn't realize you two were spending so much time together.
She's practically my sister.
Joy gave him a pointed look.
She'd be my actual sister, well, sister-in-law, one day if you hadn't fucked things up.
Here we go again. Don't start.
I'm not starting anything.
Good.
All I'm saying is Cleo is the best girlfriend you could have asked for.
Blake groaned. For God's sake, we've been through this.
And you broke up with her.
Joy shook her head.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking it's my love life and none of your business. This was one of those times Blake did not love his sister. She'd been on his case about Cleo all summer. He thought she'd be over it by now. Apparently not.
Mom and Dad are pissed.
Tell me something I don't know. Between quitting football and breaking up with Cleo, Blake hadn't exactly endeared himself to his parents this year.
Joy, is that your brother on the line?
Joy smirked.
Speak of the devil. Who are you calling the devil?
Blake's mom scolded playfully. She poked her face in front of the screen.
Hi, dear.
Hi, Mom.
Are you eating enough? You look skinnier.
Joy snickered.
That's my cue. I'll let you talk to Mom.
She stood up.
Don't be a stranger, Danger.
That makes no sense.
Whatever. Bye.
Blake's mom wasted no time getting down to business.
How's the food in China? Is that why you're not eating? Oh, Blake, you should have studied abroad in Europe.
I have been eating, and the food is fine. It took some getting used to, was all. Turned out, General Tso's chicken was not a thing here, as Blake discovered when he tried to order it last night. Don't worry. Helen Ryan pinned her son with a glare.
I'm your mother. It's my job to worry, especially when you're spending a year in some strange country across the world.
Technically, any country except the U.S. is strange, Blake quipped. He was the first in his family to travel outside the U.S. and Western Europe, so he understood their concern. But they acted like he was studying in a war zone instead of a major international city.
You know what I mean. Helen twisted her bracelet around her wrist. I'm sure the people are lovely, but couldn't you have gone somewhere more familiar? London, for example, they speak English there. It might not be too late to switch programs for the spring.
Going somewhere unfamiliar is the point. Not to mention Shanghai was way farther from home than London. Besides, Chinese is a useful language to learn.
I suppose you're right, Helen sighed. I'm worried about you, Blake. You've been acting strange all year.
I have a few things I need to figure out. Like what the hell he was going to do with his life now that football was out of the picture. I'll be fine, I promise.
All right.
His mom didn't appear convinced, but she dropped the issue.
Do you want to talk to your father? He's around here somewhere.
She turned toward the living room.
Joe?
No, Blake cleared his throat. I mean, another time. I have an orientation thing soon.
This late at night?
Yeah. We're going to a night market, Blake fudged.
Oh, okay.
Helen looked disappointed.
Have fun. I'll talk to you soon. I love you.
I love you too, Mom. Blake signed off. That was a close call. He didn't need to speak with his father when Joe Ryan's voice already echoed in his head like a bad dream. Are you stupid? Did you get hit too hard in the head during the game? Can't quit football. It's the only thing you're good at. Quitters are losers. A dull ache blossomed behind Blake's temple. The mere thought of his father drove him crazy. A loud slam caused him to jump. Blake thought the sound was an alarming escalation of his headache until he saw his roommate in the doorway.
Sorry.
Luke Peterson grimaced. Standing at 6'2 and north of 250 pounds, he looked every inch the rugby player he was.
Had few too many drinks.
It's cool. Blake eyed his roommate's flushed face and short brown hair, which stuck up all over the place.
Where did you have drinks? A wind tunnel?
Har har. Luke smoothed his self-conscious hand over his hair.
I was pre-gaming the pre-game in Courtney's room. They're at Gino's now, but I forgot my wallet.
Gino's, a dive bar near campus, was fast becoming FEA's favorite pre-game spot. The food was crappy, but the drinks were cheap, which was all a college student could ask for. Blake didn't care about the food or drinks, really. He went to bars for the energy and solidarity. There, strangers could bond over the simplest things, from mutual love for a song to a goal scored by their favorite team on TV. Everyone was welcome, regardless of whether they were there to hang out, hook up, or drown their sorrows.
Perfect timing.
Blake stood up and pulled his sweatshirt over his head. It got crazy hot in Gino's.
I was about to head over there myself.
Forget his father. He wasn't going to let the old man ruin his time in Shanghai. The great thing about being more than 7,000 miles from home, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Chapter 3. We have to decide. Olivia Tang fished a pen out of her purse and scribbled on a cocktail napkin. I'll make pro-con lists. The holiday is coming up, and if we don't book soon, everything will be full.
The holiday is in more than a month, Sammy Yu pointed out. We have time.
This is China. Do you know how many people will be traveling then? A lot, Olivia said before anyone could answer. I'd prefer to get our ducks in a row before we're stuck camping in the woods instead of sunbathing on a beach.
Camping sounds good to me, Sammy said. Olivia frowned. Or we could go sunbathing. Sunbathing sounds good too.
Farah, Courtney Taylor, and Chris Carrera exchanged amused glances. Despite Olivia's denials, it was obvious Sammy had a thing for her. Farah didn't know why Olivia bothered denying it. Sammy was good-looking, sweet, funny, and a math major at Harvey Mudd, one of the most elite liberal arts colleges in the country. He was every girl's and every Asian mother's dream.
No need for pro-con lists when we can just vote. Courtney placed her hand on Olivia's cocktail napkin, forcing the other girl to stop writing. I enjoy making lists. I know, sweetie, but we're at a bar. Courtney swept her arm around Gino's. Let's knock this out so we can enjoy it. Show of hands if you want to go to Thailand. Farah, Sammy, and Leo Agnelli raised their hands. After a longing look at her lists, Olivia raised her hand too. Japan? Chris. Philippines? Courtney and Nardo Crescas. Nardo looked at Chris.
You don't want to go to the Philippines. Your family is from there.
Exactly. I go every year. Chris yawned. No thanks. Luke mentioned earlier he wants to go to the Philippines too, so we'll chalk that up to 3. Either way, Thailand wins. We'll book our tickets tomorrow. Courtney clapped. Yay! Now let's do something fun to celebrate. Wait! We haven't decided where in Thailand we want to go, Olivia protested. Liv, Farah wrapped an arm around her friend's shoulder. We'll figure it out tomorrow, Olivia sighed. Fine, but if we end up in a roach motel because everything else sells out, don't say I didn't warn you. I won't. Farah didn't care if they ended up sleeping in a car on the side of the road. All that mattered was she was going to visit Thailand. 4 years in FEA, and the semester was already more interesting than her entire freshman year at California Coast University. Farah's stomach fluttered with excitement. Between the trips, the people, and all the inspo she was going to get for this year's National Student Interior Design Competition, Shanghai was shaping up to be the best decision she'd ever made. Having a great group of friends helped. Farah met Olivia at the airport while waiting for the FEA shuttle to campus. Olivia struck up a friendship with Chris and Courtney, who introduced them to the boys. Courtney collected friends the way Mardi Gras partygoers collect beads. And the rest was history.
Speaking of Luke, where is he?
Leo looked around for their missing friend.
He went to get his wallet ages ago.
Farah tried to ignore the second, more worrying flutter in her stomach. The one that happened every time Leo spoke. And every time she looked at him, or thought about him. Unlike Blake, Leo was 100% her type. Finally, a boy who made her heart jump when he entered the room. A boy with curly dark hair and a knowing smile, who spoke 5 languages and could quote classic authors at the drop of a hat. Too bad said boy was taken. I'm sure he'll be here soon enough. Courtney snuggled into Leo's side. You can say a lot of things about Courtney, but you can't say she didn't move fast. Farah didn't even get a chance to introduce herself the first night before Leo and Courtney started making out in the corner of 808. They weren't dating, per se, but they were hooking up with each other exclusively. In college, that was basically the same as dating. Farah sipped her drink and scanned the bar to avoid looking at the couple. Gino's was like an American college bar on steroids. Throngs of students, local and international, crowded around tables heaped high with burgers, fries, and alcohol. The latest top 40 hits from the States blasted through ceiling-mounted speakers, muffling the cheers from the 2 beer pong tables in the back. Graffiti from past patrons covered every wall and crept onto the ceiling. Farah zeroed in on the messages closest to their table. Be nice to your cab driver, someone advised in black marker, or they'll leave you in the middle of nowhere. Above that was a random phone number. And above that, a simple hashtag. Hashtag balls, balls, balls. Cuddle of beer graffiti. Olivia leaned toward Farah. You okay? She whispered. She was the only one who knew about Farah's crush. Yes, Farah lied. Courtney was her friend. Leo was Courtney's, sort of, and that was that. Besides, Farah wasn't a stranger to unrequited love. She had a habit of falling for guys she couldn't have, even when she didn't know they were taken yet. I'm over it. Olivia appeared unconvinced.
What are you talking about?
Sammy poked his head over Olivia's shoulder.
Tell me.
Then mind your business, Jean. Olivia smiled despite her words. It was hard not to smile around Sammy.
Come on, I won't tell. I can keep a secret.
Sammy wiggled his eyebrows.
Is this something naughty?
You wish, Farrah threw a fry at him. Is sex the only thing guys think about?
No. Sometimes we think about food.
Sammy caught the fry and tossed it in his mouth. Olivia jabbed her elbow into his side. He tickled her in response, causing her to squeal and nearly fall off the bench from laughter. Farrah hid her grin behind her glass.
Oh, look. There's the uncouth one himself, bearing gifts.
Chris raised her eyebrows.
Including one Blake Ryan. How thoughtful.
Farrah's head whipped around. Luke bore down on them with a fishbowl cocktail in each hand and Blake in tow.
Talking shit again, Chris?
Luke set the drinks on the table.
You couldn't possibly have heard me over the noise.
I didn't need to. You're always talking shit.
Courtney laughed.
He has a point. Whose side are you on?
Chris harumphed.
Yours, of course.
Courtney patted Chris's hand. You're my sorority sister. Besides Sammy and Nardo, who were best friends and classmates at Harvey Mudd, Chris and Courtney were the only ones in FEA who'd known each other before the program started.
Twice in one night,
Blake winked at Farrah.
I'm beginning to think you're stalking me.
I was here first.
That's what they all say.
Blake handed Farrah a bottle of beer.
Drink?
I don't like beer.
Come on, live a little. Get outside your comfort zone.
Drinking beer is hardly living.
Nevertheless, Farrah swiped the Tsingtao from him. His hand brushed hers, and another electric current sizzled over her skin. She popped open the cap and took a swig, grimacing at the taste. Blake laughed at her expression.
You really don't like beer.
It tastes like urine.
How do you know what urine tastes like?
Farrah took another swig.
I can't talk to you. You're exhausting.
That's okay. There are other things we can do besides talk. Can't guarantee they'll be less exhausting, though.
Blake sat across from her. Even in a plain black V-neck tee and jeans, he looked like he just stepped off the cover of GQ. The shirt showed off his broad shoulders and muscular arms, and his skin glowed golden in the bar's dim lighting. Blake caught her staring and flashed a cocky grin.
Like what you see?
He mouthed.
I've seen better, she mouthed back.
She had. In the sculpture sections of Italy's art museums. Blake smirked with the confidence of someone who knew he was the hottest guy in the room. Luke said something to him. When Blake turned his head to reply, Olivia grabbed Farrah's arm.
What was that?
What was what?
That, she gestured at Blake. I almost melted from the sexual tension.
You've been drinking too much. Farrah had never heard anything more absurd. There was no sexual tension.
Oh, honey, yes, there was. Why deny it? Blake is hot.
Olivia lowered her voice.
He'll help you get over you-know-who. Like they say, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone else.
For the first time in her life, Farrah was thankful for the red flush that took over her face every time she drank alcohol. It concealed the heated embarrassment on her cheeks.
He's not my type. Don't be ridiculous. He's every girl's type.
Farrah sighed.
She was tired of hearing that. Guys, look what Luke brought.
Courtney waved a deck of cards in the air.
What do you say? Y'all up for a game of kings?
Hell yeah. I'm the king of kings.
Luke pounded his chest.
Bring it on.
Your resemblance to a gorilla is remarkable,
Chris observed.
Bite me.
You wish. Children, settle down.
Courtney shuffled the cards and spread them, face down, around the bottle of Baito they smuggled in. It'd been sitting there unopened for the past hour. The staff didn't seem to care, but no one in the group had the guts to open it. Baito, which ranged from 80 to 120 proof, was the Chinese equivalent of moonshine. It was no joke. Normal rules, yeah? Aces waterfall, 2 you, 3 me, 4 floor. Courtney ran through the instructions in one breath.
I agree, except for one thing, Blake spoke up. Ace is hot seat. Whoever draws it has to answer one question from every other player. Honestly.
Ooh, a grin spread across Courtney's face. I like that. I like that a lot. Farah narrowed her eyes. Blake would be the type to barge in and change the rules. The game heated up. Everyone took turns pulling a card, each of which came with a predetermined rule. For the first few rounds, Farah pulled innocuous cards such as a 10, categories, and a 5, all guys drink. Her luck ran out in the 5th round. After Olivia pulled a 3, me, which meant she had to drink, it was Farah's turn. She examined the remaining cards. Her hand hovered over the one closest to her, before she changed her mind and plucked a card from the other side. She flipped it over. An ace. The first of the night. The table erupted into cheers. Farah groaned, I hate you guys.
No one forced you to choose that card. It was fate, Sammy teased.
Yeah, yeah. Farah resigned herself to her so-called fate. She spread her arms. I'm ready. Have at it. They did. Her friends peppered her with rapid-fire questions. As expected, most were sexual but harmless. Ever have a threesome? Nope. Weirdest hookup spot? Lifeguard stand at the beach, depending on how you interpret the word hookup. Celebrity fantasy? Ian Somerhalder or Henry Cavill? Or both. Farah added that last part as a joke, though it earned her a few speculative glances from the guys. Man, so predictable. Blake asked the next question.
If you could hook up with one person in the program, who would it be?
Farah froze. Everyone stared at her expectantly as she worked to keep her face expressionless and her gaze from flicking in Leo's direction. She was convinced any movement on her part would give it away. She thought about making something up, but she didn't want someone thinking she had a crush on them when she didn't. Lie or take the shot? On one hand, the smell of Baitu alone made her want to vomit. On the other, fuck it. Farah picked up the Baitu, poured the clear liquid into an empty shot glass, and knocked it back straight, holding her breath so she didn't have to inhale its fuel-like odor. Her friends burst into a spontaneous round of applause. Blake was the only one who didn't clap. Instead, he watched her drink with a knowing smirk. Farah grimaced as the cheap, fiery liquid burned its way down her throat. Why the hell did Chinese people like Baitu so much? It smelled and tasted like rubbing alcohol. Olivia handed her a glass of water, which she downed in 5 seconds. She wiped her mouth with the back of her hand and took a deep breath. The urge to vomit subsided, but the alcohol's brutal aftertaste lingered.
You're a champ.
Sammy reached around Olivia to pat her on the back.
You that desperate to hide something from us? Leo joked.
Farah played it cool with a shrug and a smile. No follow-up questions, she reminded him. She avoided his gaze. Leo held up his hands in surrender.
Okay, here's an easy one. What's your number?
AKA the number of people she'd slept with. She paused before answering, 0. Olivia knew this, so she didn't blink an eye. But the rest of the table stared at Farah like she'd grown another head.
You're shitting me, Luke said.
Nope. Farah lifted her chin with equal parts embarrassment and defiance. A 19-year-old virgin from L.A. was a novelty these days, but she wasn't a prude. She had experience on all the bases. She just never hit a home run. And there's nothing wrong with that, Olivia said loyally. Of course not. Farah couldn't tell whether Leo was impressed, amused, or bemused.
You're ready when you're ready. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Farrah forced a smile. She chose not to mention that if she had her way, she'd have lost her virginity already. Last year, she came this close to giving it up to Garrett Reese, the hot junior in her visual communication class. After their third date, they made it all the way to his dorm room and to the pivotal moment before Garrett realized he was out of condoms. Before their next date could happen, she caught him playing tonsil hockey with another girl at the movies, and that was that. Farrah didn't want or need to wait for marriage or true love, although there was nothing wrong with that. But a girl had to have some standards. Sadly, every time she got close to doing the deed with someone who seemed to meet those standards, something came along and ruined it. Wrong place, wrong time, no protection, guy turns out to be an asshole. The list goes on. At this point, Farrah was never going to have sex. She could picture her headstone engraving already. Here lies Farrah Lynn, world's oldest virgin, who tried to give it away but couldn't. May she rest in peace. So, how far have you gone? Nardo looked intrigued. Second? Third? Or, he paused. Wayne, have you gone past first? Luke snorted out a laugh that morphed into a cough when Courtney shot him a dirty look. Of course I have, Farrah snapped. I'm a virgin, not a nun.
Let's move on. We've broken the no follow-up questions rule enough tonight.
Blake pulled a jack.
Never have I ever.
Farrah exhaled in relief as everyone refocused on the game. She wasn't ashamed of her lack of sexual experience, but she didn't want to be grilled about it all night either. Farrah looked across the table and caught Blake's eye. He gave her a discreet wink. Huh. Maybe Blake Ryan wasn't so bad after all.
Chapter 4. If Blake's old teammates could see him now, they'd laugh their asses off. Blake Ryan, studying on a Friday night instead of hitting the town, unheard of. While he'd been one of the few football players at TSU who chose a serious major, business administration, and took academics seriously, he'd never stayed in on Friday nights. Back then, he had appearances to keep up. But Blake wasn't a football player anymore, and he was in Shanghai, not Texas. Not to mention FEA's curriculum was hard as shit. 4-hour language classes 4 days a week on top of daily homework and vocabulary lessons, weekly written/oral exams, and 2 elective classes conducted all in Mandarin. The teachers, or Laoshis, were patient with Blake, who spoke 0 Mandarin coming into this program, but he still had no clue what was going on half the time. He tapped his pencil against the table. Dui bu qi. Dui bu qi, he muttered, trying to imprint the characters in his mind. Sorry, in Mandarin. He could pronounce it fine. Writing it out was another matter. Blake covered the characters in his textbook with one hand and attempted to write them based on memory. He got through the first 2 and guessed the 3rd. A quick check told him it wasn't close. Damn it. His mom was right. He should have studied abroad in an English-speaking country like England or Australia. But no, he had to choose China, home to one of the hardest fucking languages in the world. Blake slammed his textbook shut and rubbed his eyes. His vision was blurry after hours of staring at the lines, curves, and squiggles that made up the Chinese written system. Meanwhile, the clock's deafening tick echoed in the otherwise empty library, taunting him, reminding him he'd been at it for 2 hours and still couldn't get the easiest vocabulary words right. I need a break. Now he was talking to himself, fan-fucking-tastic. Blake blamed Daniel Craig for his predicament. If Shanghai hadn't looked so dope in that Skyfall scene, which he watched right before he submitted his study abroad application with his city of choice, he wouldn't be here. He'd be in Sydney hooking up with surfer babes and living his best life on the beach. Australia was even farther from home than China. It would have been perfect. Stupid Bond fight sequence. Blake stood to stretch his limbs. He rolled his neck and shrugged out his shoulders. Nothing better than movement after hours of sitting. The library door opened. Farah walked in with what looked like a sketch pad and a stack of magazines tucked under her arm. Now there was trouble. Farah was beautiful, and Blake got a kick out of riling her up, but she was off limits. Not only was she an FEA, which meant he had to see her every day if things between them went south, but she was a virgin. Blake slept with a virgin once, in high school. Granted, he didn't know Lorna was a virgin until after the fact, and when he declined to make things exclusive between them, she took a key to his beloved Chevy until it resembled Freddy Krueger's face. Fun times. Then Lorna's father found out Blake slept with his precious daughter and tracked him down after football practice with a shotgun in hand. Luckily, Blake's coach saw them and called the police before Blake found himself eating dirt 6 feet beneath the ground. The police let the man off with a stern warning, since he technically hadn't tried to shoot Blake. Yet. But Blake still filed a restraining order against the girl's entire damn family. Even funner times. Lorna transferred schools soon after, and Blake swore never to hook up with a virgin again. That didn't mean he couldn't flirt with Farah, though. Flirting was harmless. He retook his seat, laced his hands behind his head, and kicked his feet up on the table with an insouciant smile. Farah arched an eyebrow at his unorthodox position. Instead of commenting, she sat at the table next to him and opened one of her magazines. Blake stretched his arms over his head in a way that showed off his abs, one of his best assets, along with everything else on his body. It ain't cocky if it's true. To his annoyance, Farah didn't look up. She continued to read, serene as a monk. Blake swung his feet to the floor. He walked over to her table, plunked his ass in the chair opposite hers, and rested his chin in his hands. The clock ticked. The AC hummed. The pages rustled as she turned them. Finally, Farah slammed her magazine shut with a huff.
"Can I help you?"
Blake grinned. Success. "Now, is that the proper way to greet someone?" he drawled. Austinites don't have strong accents, but he could lay it on thick when he wanted to. "Didn't your mama teach you manners?"
"She did. That's why I left you and your vanity in peace. It would have been rude to interrupt."
Blake placed a hand over his chest. "Vain? Me? You break my heart."
"I doubt anyone can break your heart."
Farah fluttered her lashes.
"If they do, the proofs from your solo photo shoot earlier will ease the pain."
His body vibrated with laughter.
"You know, I'm down to earth once you get to know me."
"Is that your favorite thing about yourself?"
"Favorite? As in one? I can't pick just one." He frowned. "Oh, I see."
"Uh-huh. Now that we've established the obvious fact of your vanity, can you be quiet? I'm trying to work."
"So am I. You are not working." "I was working until you came in and interrupted me."
"I didn't say anything when I came in."
"You distracted me with your radiant presence. It was like a goddess descended from the heavens. How can I focus on something as mundane as Chinese vocabulary when faced with such an extraordinary vision?"
Farah's mouth twitched once, twice, until she caved and doubled over with laughter. A grin stretched across Blake's face. There was something magical about seeing someone so composed let loose, and to know he was the one who made her laugh like that.
"I don't know what to do with you,"
she wiped tears from her eyes.
"I can suggest a few things."
Blake pictured Farah climbing into his lap and straddling him, taking his shirt off, taking her shirt off, gripping his hair and moaning while he feasted on those sure-to-be delectable breasts of hers. Hey, he was a guy. He couldn't help himself. Except this guy now needed a cold shower. Blake discreetly adjusted himself under the table. He liked having a dick. He and Junior got along great, but sometimes the friend downstairs popped up at the most inconvenient moments.
"Anyway, you're reading Vogue?"
Blake squinted at the magazine cover.
"I can't imagine that's part of the syllabus."
"First of all, this is Vogue China, which means I'm practicing my Chinese reading skills. Second of all, it's not for FEA. It's..."
Farah hesitated.
Never mind. Blake's intrigue radar blipped. You can't leave me hanging like that. What's it for?
Farrah sighed.
Every year, the National Interior Design Association hosts a student competition. The winner gets an all-expenses-paid summer internship at the NIDA member firm of their choice. It's one of the most prestigious honors in the industry.
Sounds fancy. Blake didn't know a single thing about design, but he wished he did. Not because he wanted to be a designer, but because of the way Farrah's eyes lit up when she talked about it. He wanted to know what made her so passionate about the subject. Maybe it'd help him figure out what the hell he wanted to do with his life.
I don't get the Vogue part, though.
It's for inspiration. Farrah fiddled with the pages.
We have to submit a portfolio with different design concepts, and I'm stuck on what I want to do for the last one.
But it's a fashion magazine. Blake had heard his sister gush about the overpriced items in Vogue since they were teenagers.
Design inspiration can come from anywhere. Fashion, travel, food, nature.
A dreamy look took over Farrah's face.
There was a feature about the actress Marion Lagarde's house in France,